Welcome to Sarah's Bookshelves Live. I'm Sarah of the blog Sarah's Bookshelves. Each week, I'm talking with one bookish guest about two old books they love, two new books they love, one book they don't love, and one new release they're excited about. We're going to get real and sometimes a little bit snarky about all things books. This is a brand new podcast, so if you like it, I'd really love your support. Please spread the word to your reader friends, subscribe to the show, and rate and review it wherever you listen to podcasts. Let's get rolling. Hey everyone, welcome to Sarah's Bookshelves Live. We have another special episode for you. We've got our 2019 summer book preview, and Catherine from the blog Gilmore Guide to Books, and she's become more or less my regular co-host for these quarterly book previews. She's back again. Thrilled to have her.
I'm thrilled to be here.
And we will be highlighting the books we are looking forward to coming out in June and July. As you probably know, if you've listened to the previous two special episodes, Catherine and I tend to get a little bit snarky. So hope that's cool with y'all. And welcome back, Catherine. So glad to have you.
Thank you. I'm really excited to be here.
All right. Before we get into our summer books, we're going to share how successful we were at picking spring books. One of us much more successful than the other, as you'll find out. Again, hopefully you'll still listen to this podcast after you hear these numbers. At the time when we record these previews, we generally have not read the books that we're sharing. We've researched them. We've read reviews. We may or may not have read one or two, and we'll tell you that in advance. But otherwise, unless otherwise noted, we have not read these books. So we like to go back and follow up and tell you, okay, what happened when we did read them? Did we like them? Did we not? And how good were we at picking books? So the winter wasn't great. I was 44% successful. Catherine was slightly lower than that.
Ouch.
And when I say successful, I mean I ended up liking 44% of the books that I shared on that episode. So I thought there was nowhere to go but up. That's not the case.
You're sadly mistaken.
I'm sadly mistaken. My success rate for the spring was 38%, y'all.
Oh.
Yeah. Yikes.
Oh, no.
So I'm going to try to caveat this and maybe dig myself out of a little bit of a hole. I also do a most anticipated books of spring, let's say, blog post that follows up my podcast episode. There are different books in that. Not all different, but some different. So if you look at my blog post, I had a 50% success rate. So slightly better. Catherine, bring us the good news.
The good news is, and not to stand in contrast to you, Sarah, but
no, it's fine. I deserve it.
I can be trusted to pick great books.
Yes, you can.
I mean, after winter, I had some doubts, but my success rate so far for spring is 60%.
Woohoo!
And I'm really excited about it because of those 60, my success rate is anything I rate 3.5 stars or better.
And that's the same for me.
Okay, great. Well, these books were all 4 stars or higher.
Awesome.
So I was really excited about that. Now, I have not finished May, obviously, because May's just starting and I read really close to the release date, but I'm hoping the trend holds.
I have finished my May books only because I DNF'd so many of them.
You know, Sarah, that's probably a whole nother episode, but I am wildly curious about your DNF percentage.
It is extremely high. I think it's over 30% of books that I attempt.
Oh my gosh.
I could be wrong on that. That number's floating around in my head for some reason.
Okay.
All right. So we're each going to share our best and worst books from our spring preview episode. And I actually have two best ones. They're both memoirs and they kind of go together. And I'll tell you a little story about that in a second. My two books are I Miss You When I Blink by Mary Laura Philpott, who y'all, she's going to be coming on the podcast soon.
That's so exciting.
So exciting. But my other book is, again, a memoir called Out East by John Glenn. And Mary Laura Philpott, actually, on another podcast episode, it's a podcast called The Literary Life. And I listened to her interview. And during that interview, she said that her book would be bookish best friends with Out East. So a nice complimentary pair.
Oh, okay.
And Out East, I think, is either just coming out by the time this episode airs or won't even be out quite yet. Catherine, what were your best?
My best book was Normal People by Sally Rooney. And I know it's getting a lot of buzz right now, obviously pre-buzz, but people have read it and have loved it. And I wasn't surprised because I loved the writing, but I've never liked a book so much that left me so sad.
It was sad.
But her writing was absolutely gorgeous. Her understanding of relationships and dynamics and mostly all the things that go unsaid was just really deep. I don't know the last time I highlighted so many sentences and paragraphs in one book. I loved it.
So I can co-sign this one too. I did not present it in the episode, so I cannot claim it as a success for my stats purposes, but I did love this book. I rated it 5 stars. I totally agree with everything you said. I also think she really got the dynamics of high school.
Oh, yes.
I will say it's not a book that I think is for everyone.
Agreed.
But I loved it.
Agreed.
All right. Let's talk about our worst books. Not surprisingly, I didn't read much of my worst book. But I think I can be fairly confident based on trusted sources that it probably didn't get any better.
Okay.
So mine is Trust Exercise by Susan Choi. I read 3% of it.
Wow.
And it's not a very long book. So 3% is probably like 20 pages, maybe less. I could not stand the writing. It was all over the place. I had no idea what she was talking about.
Well, I'm completely with you, but I stuck with it. And then it kind of turned into what I call a hate read, where I'm determined to finish it, even though I cannot stand anything about it.
Well, and it was short.
Yes, thankfully it was short, but the way it was divided into parts, I thought she had a very, very clever premise, but the writing ruined it. But I'm with you. I finished it, but gave it a 1 star.
And you were one of the ones that helped me not look back once I dropped it.
Right. That's true.
That is one of the good things about you and I, right? We can vet books for each other.
Exactly.
So, Catherine, let me hear about your worst book from the spring.
Well, my worst book was I believe it's a sophomore effort from an author I really liked. It was The Spectators by Jennifer Dubois.
Oh, man. I actually put that on my TBR when you talked about it.
Well, darling.
Take it off.
I don't think I got more than 30 pages into it.
Okay.
The writing was, you needed a dictionary.
Oh, no.
I like new words. She didn't need to go lowbrow, but she just alienated me. If I can't understand what your sentence is saying,
right,
then how am I going to get into the story, especially right from the beginning? I'm reading this thinking, is this a thesis? Because you are writing as an academic.
And if you don't know what these words mean, then the general public really doesn't know what these words mean.
Well, I do read a lot, and I was an English major.
You know what a lot of words mean.
And I love that kind of thing, but really, it was alienating. And I believe Nicole on the Readerly Report said the same thing.
So oh, gotcha.
It wasn't just me.
Well, thank you for lightening my TBR list.
There you go.
So let's get into June and July books. Catherine and I each have 4 books to share per month. So we'll be sharing a total of 16 books today. And unless otherwise noted, as I said earlier, we have not read these books yet. So my first June book is Beyond All Reasonable Doubt by, I hope I don't butcher this, I tried to look it up online, but I could not find anything, Malin Person Giolito. And she is the author of the novel Quicksand, which came out a couple years ago, and I loved. It was 5 stars for me.
Oh my gosh, I haven't even heard of it.
It's a Swedish translation. Both of them are.
Okay.
So she's a Swedish author. It's of a small press. Other Press is the name of it. So this is, I guess, an indie book. And it's coming out June 4th. Mystery/thriller. And she writes courtroom dramas. She's a former international lawyer for the European Commission. So she's really good at the courtroom drama stuff, which I love. So I am about 100 pages into this novel right now. I was trying to make it as far as I could before we recorded, but that's how far I got. I'm not loving it as much as Quicksand. However, I am interested to see what happens. It could use some editing, and the pace was a little bit slow in the beginning, but it's starting to really pick up now. Let me tell you what it's about. There's a lawyer named Sophia Weber, And she takes a case to free a doctor who was convicted of murdering a teenage girl 13 years before. And she thinks he could possibly be innocent once she looks back at the case, looks at the evidence, and looks at how they presented the evidence at trial, and looks at the media involvement in the case. And that's really starting to take shape now. The first part of the book was really about trying to convince her to take the case. So now we're getting into what this teenage girl's high school life was like, the doctor who was convicted of killing her, what his life was like.
That sounds good.
I hope. We'll see. It's 500 pages long, so I'm a little nervous.
Oh.
480, actually. So I just want to tell you a little bit about Quicksand, too, in case you're looking for a mystery or a thriller that's a bit different from the usual fare. Quicksand is basically like the movie Cruel Intentions, set in Sweden, if Sebastian, the main character, had shot up his school and Annette, his girlfriend, had gone to trial for helping him. That's the premise of the book. And I really loved it.
Okay.
It was one of those dark, twisty, high school, demented kind of books.
Well, high school is nothing but demented, so.
Oh, yeah.
That makes sense.
That was Beyond All Reasonable Doubt by Malin Person Giolito, coming out June 4th. And Catherine, what is your first June book?
My first book is Searching for Sylvie Lee by Jean Kwok, and it also comes out June 4th. And I have loved this author since her first book, which was Girl in Translation. And her writing, not only does it tap into the contemporary immigrant experience in America, she does it in a way that relates to all of us. So I always appreciate that. And she is so outgoing and gracious. I had never met her, but I was waiting to get her book, Mambo in Chinatown, signed at BEA. And she came out into the line because she recognized me from my profile photo and wanted to thank me for my review.
Oh, that's amazing.
I'm like, you're an author. I was so starstruck. And she's telling all the people in line, you need to read her blog. You need to read her blog. I was speechless. Who does that? I mean, authors are my rock stars, so I was stunned.
That's a cool experience.
It was amazing. So in Searching for Sylvie Lee, she's still writing about families and the immigrant experience, but now she's attached a mystery. And this is a family that immigrates to the U.S., but they can't afford to bring everyone over. So the older daughter is left with a grandmother in the Netherlands until they can afford to have her come live with them in the United States. And that takes 9 years.
Whoa.
So there's a younger daughter born in the United States who then meets her older sister. Years later, Sylvie, the older sister, goes back to the Netherlands to visit the dying grandmother who basically raised her. And she doesn't come back. She just disappears. So the younger sister, her name's Amy, goes to the Netherlands to try and find her, and discovers that life and their family history may not be everything she believed it to be.
And is Jean Kwok Dutch?
No, she's Chinese, so.
Okay, that's why I was confused. I thought so. Then it was the Netherlands, and I wasn't sure.
No, I know. Because I haven't read the book yet.
Right.
My guess is the family emigrated from China or, you know, somewhere in Asia, but had a relative in the Netherlands.
Okay.
I haven't made that connection yet, but no, her books largely deal with the Chinese American experience.
Okay. So that was Searching for Sylvie Lee by Jean Kwok, coming June 4th.
That's right.
So my next book is going to be a popular one, I believe. It is Recursion by Blake Crouch, coming June 11th. And he wrote the book Dark Matter, which is sci-fi. And y'all know I don't normally read sci-fi. However, I did like Dark Matter. And a lot of other people that don't normally read sci-fi liked Dark Matter as well.
Oh, I never read sci-fi. Now I feel like I should read this.
I think this is maybe the only sci-fi book I've ever liked. And maybe one of not many that I've ever even attempted.
Okay.
But this one is about a new disease called false memory syndrome. And it's giving people memories of things that never happened and or entire lives that they never lived. And it's spreading throughout the country. And a guy named Barry Sutton begins to investigate the death of a woman possibly afflicted with this illness. And apparently the death of the woman happens right away in the opening pages. And it's pretty dramatic. But this investigation leads him to a neuroscientist who is developing a technology involving memory that could have very sinister implications and uses. Anne Bogle, Modern Mrs. Darcy, she recommended this book in her new podcast called One Great Book for Patreon subscribers. And I don't always agree with her reading tastes. I do in some cases. But Blake Crouch writes sci-fi for people that do not normally read the genre. And they're real page turners. But what he also does is he makes them feel very human. That's not like sci-fi with robots and aliens and all kinds of things that you can't wrap your hands around.
Right.
And I think that's why I can tolerate. And I do more than just tolerate him. That's why I like him. It's a very human type of science fiction.
Mm-hmm.
And word has it, this one is just as unputdownable as Dark Matter. However, that it also takes some work mentally. Because of the memory illness, there's a lot of shifting around with timelines and what's real and what's not. And some Goodreads reviewers said it caused them to kind of get confused and lose focus a little bit at times. It's also, I hear, a book that you will want to talk to somebody about.
Okay.
Shonda Rhimes bought the rights for a movie and a TV series.
Oh, that's always a good sign.
Yeah. So we'll see what she does with that. And that was Recursion by Blake Crouch, coming out June 11th. Catherine, what is your next June book?
My next June book is The Paper Wasp by Laura. Now it's my turn to butcher a last name. Acampora. And that comes out June 11th. And I am going into this one completely blind. It's based on a recommendation from Tara from the blog Running and Reading.
I was going to say, didn't she write a short story collection that Tara loved?
Exactly.
Okay.
I was at ALA, the Librarians Book Conference, and I came upon this book and put a picture of it up on Instagram. And Tara immediately texted me saying, oh, she wrote the most amazing short stories called The Wonder Garden. You need to read this book. So I grabbed a copy for myself and one for Tara. And because she and I share similar tastes in novels, so that's a plus. It's a debut and written by a woman. And it's about a childhood friendship between two women who have since lost touch. One woman is stuck in their hometown, you know, kind of floating along, not really doing much with her life, while the other has gone on to be successful in Hollywood. And they meet up again later in life. I think they're in their early 20s. And from there, it sounds like the novel gets dark. So it's maybe not a necessarily healthy relationship, but there is an element of psychic phenomena. So I'm curious to see how the author works with this.
So you had me in your description of the book, Toxic Female Friendship, Dark, until you said ESP.
I know. That's what I mean. There are just some elements in this, and I'm not even discussing all of them from what I've seen, that make me concerned she might be reaching a little too far.
Gotcha.
But that's The Paper Wasp, and it comes out June 11th.
I'm going to let you vet that for me, because I feel like I should try her. I feel like she would be up my alley.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know about this ESP thing.
Right.
I like my reading to be firmly in reality.
Both feet on the ground.
Although I just presented a book that is sci-fi with some strange memory disorder. So I probably should just stop being hypocritical.
You're just a mass of contradictions.
I am. All right. So my next book is called The Body in Question by Jill Cement, and it's coming out June 11th as well. I've read this book. Hooray.
Oh.
Yes. It's a courtroom drama, but not really. It's set in a courtroom, but it's not about the trial, and it's not about the players in the trial, like the defendant and the perpetrator and all that. It's about the jury. It's set in Central Florida, and the trial is a rich white teenager murdered her toddler age brother.
Oh, that's dark.
Yeah, it's dark. She's also a twin, and the jury for this trial is sequestered in a nearby Econo Lodge. That sounds like it doesn't matter, but it matters a lot. I rated it 4 stars. It's very short. It's under 200 pages. You can read it very quickly. And it's told from the perspective of the jury members. But it's mostly about one of the jury members. I feel like the Goodreads synopsis gave away a lot about the plot. And I'm purposely not saying that much because really it's great to go in blind.
Right.
So I'm not going to tell you much about it other than it gets into the jury's personal lives. It's about what goes on within a jury while a trial's going on, or what can go on within a jury. It makes you wonder about, are these the people deciding the fates of, you know, whoever's on trial? Because are they really mentally focused on what's going on in the courtroom or not?
Right.
But it also seemed fairly realistic. I mean, I feel like this could happen easily. And it's also a very high profile trial. So it kind of, at the end of the book, deals with what happens when the trial's over to the jurors when you're in a very high profile case that the media is paying attention to.
Oh, right.
So like there's mentions of the OJ trial in there.
That's what came into my mind immediately.
Right. It's a little bit of a weird book, but I was completely riveted by it.
Oh, good. Okay.
I don't think it'll be for everybody, but it was for me. And also Annie Jones from the Front Porch podcast really liked it as well. And that's actually where I heard about it first. And that was The Body in Question by Jill Cement. And it's coming out June 11th. And Catherine, what is your next June book?
My next June book is called Bunny by Mona Awad. And this choice is based solely on the premise, and who knows, I may be getting played by the Viking marketing department or whoever wrote the synopsis. But I'm going to give it a go.
Always a risk.
Exactly. It's another young women and friendship frenemy dynamic, but this time it's set in a small New England college. Samantha is a new student and on scholarship. She has one friend, like-minded, in the arts program with her, but she's invited to join a club run by a bunch of wealthy girls, and it's the Bunny Club. The club then turns out to have some sinister implications. I'm thinking there may be a little bit of the occult, which I'm less interested in, but mostly what I'm picturing is a literary Mean Girls vibe.
Ooh.
Right, which on the one hand is probably played out, but on the other is catnip.
But I'm still a sucker for it, even if it's played out.
Me too. I'm always drawn to it. I mean, wealth and bad behavior.
Oh yeah.
Work for me when they're done well.
And demented high school and campus novels.
Absolutely.
And it has all of those things.
It does. So yes, that's Bunny by Mona Awad, and that comes out June 11th.
You're going to have to vet that for me.
Okay. I'm doing a lot of vetting for you.
I know. That's because you have, well, you're not going to have a lot of time with your move, but I was going to say you have more time to read than I do.
I used to, yes.
Yes. That's going to go away temporarily.
Right.
All right. My last book of June, this is another popular one. I feel like I'm cheating almost by sharing books that people probably know about already, but I'm just sharing what I'm most excited about. It's Mrs. Everything by Jennifer Weiner.
Oh, yes.
Is it Weiner or Weiner?
I don't know.
I feel like if I mispronounce that one, it's a big mispronunciation.
Right. It goes in so many different directions.
It does. Anyway, it's coming out June 11th. And Jennifer Weiner, I'm going to go with Weiner.
Okay.
Normally writes Brain Candy. And I have not read her books in a very long time, except for her memoir called A Hungry Heart, which I really loved. And what I'm hearing about her latest book, it is her most ambitious book ever and might be slightly more literary than her previous fare.
Really?
Yes. So it's a story of two sisters who grew up in 1950s Detroit. Their names are Jo and Bethy Kaufman. Jo was a tomboy and Bethy was a girly girl who dreamed of having a very traditional life. And it sort of follows their lives all the way through. And they don't end up where you think they'll end up. It's one of these sweeping epic novels that just covers many decades and follows the lives of these two characters. So it sounds very character driven. Ashley Spivey has read it and liked it. And Kelly Masri, who has the store Kel Literacy or Kelly's Collections. I think Kel Literacy is her Instagram handle.
I think it is too.
Yeah, she liked it as well. Apparently, this book really looks at how women's roles have changed over the decades and expectations for women. And that's something that really interests me. And I've been reading a lot of both fiction and nonfiction about that topic over the past couple of years. There is a letter to the readers in the front of the advance copy that I have. And she says, and I'm quoting now, "It's time to think about where women have been, where we are now, and what this moment requires of us to get to our next destination. And I really like that.
Oh, that is nice.
I sampled the writing. It's very relatable. And I'm getting the impression that this might be an important book, but a readable important book. I'm hoping.
Right.
It's long. It's 500 pages. But I guess if you're going to track two women for their entire lives, you might need 500 pages.
They deserve 500 pages.
I'm hoping it'll be 500 pages that I'll be so engrossed in that I won't feel the 500 pages.
Right.
So that's Mrs. Everything by Jennifer Weiner. And that is coming out June 11th. Catherine, what is your last June book?
My last June book is The Body Lies by Joe Baker. And that's coming out June 13th. And I seem to be on a college kick.
Not a bad kick to be on.
Right, hopefully. But this is an author pick because I loved her debut, Longborn. I don't know if you read it, but...
Oh, no, but I feel like I remember you talking about it.
It was such a clever twist on the Pride and Prejudice story because it is told solely from the perspective of the Bennets' servants.
Oh, very cool.
It's like Downton Abbey meets Jane Austen.
Meets The Help.
Exactly. The Body Lies is contemporary and sounds really creepy. It's set on a college campus, which I don't know what about college campuses makes for creepy reading, but it's about a writer, a woman, who accepts a job teaching a writing group, and it's all moving along smoothly until they start submitting chapters about what they're writing. And one of the young men, his chapters are about a woman who sounds very much like the teacher, and they get progressively violent.
Ew.
And apparently there's a fair bit about violence against women on college campuses, which,
yeah,
you know, is an all too real issue.
Yes.
So I feel like it could be timely and, as you just said, somewhat important if it's done right. But I'm looking forward to it. She's a writer I really enjoy. That's The Body Lies by Joe Baker, and it'll be out June 13th.
Okay, so this is interesting. June 13th is not a Tuesday.
Really?
Yeah. June 11th is the Tuesday.
Huh.
Let me explain this for the listeners real quick.
Yeah.
I never realized this until I got very enmeshed in the book world. So if you're not already really enmeshed in the book world, you probably have no idea about this. But all new books come out on Tuesdays. Tuesday is new release day.
Right.
So I'm curious why that is coming out on a Thursday.
Hmm.
We don't know why, but it's an anomaly. All right. Moving on to July. I was really worried I was not going to have enough books to share for July. And then what ended up happening was I ended up having more of a problem picking June books because many of the things I got really excited about, I started reading the reviews and they were terrible, or I sampled the writing and it was terrible.
That's the worst.
I know. It was terrible. I really was stressed out about my June books up until like last night. So July actually ended up being a little bit better. So my first book is called Girls Like Us by Christina Alger, coming out July 2nd.
I love her.
I know, right? I do too.
Oh my gosh.
So for the listeners, she wrote The Banker's Wife, which came out last summer, I believe. Was it just last summer?
I think it was.
It got a fair amount of play on Bookstagram. It was a thriller set in the world of private Swiss banking, but ignore the unfortunate title. Because this was not one of those books where, like, the damsel in distress thrillers.
She's the victim.
Right. She was a badass.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it kind of turned that whole trend on its head, I guess. And so that's why it really stood out for me. This one is a thriller slash police procedural. And it's about an FBI agent named Nell Flynn. And she returns home to Long Island to close her father's estate. And her father was a homicide detective. She becomes involved in investigating the murders of two young women, and it becomes clear that her father, who's now deceased, was actually a suspect. And her mother had also been murdered a long time ago, so that kind of resurfaces in the story as well. It's set in Southampton, in the Hamptons, as well as Palm Beach.
Oh.
So it's like fun, glittery locales, and particularly with the Hamptons setting, the Goodreads reviews did say that this book addresses class issues, which are very prevalent in the Hamptons because you have this very wealthy summer crowd And you have the locals who live there all year round that have nowhere close to the wealth of the summer crowd. So there's a lot of that going on in the book, as well as the thriller mystery part, which I like. I think that'll add a layer of depth. And Goodreads reviewers also said that Nell is a really likable character and a strong female protagonist, which makes sense given the banker's wife. Again, why, oh why, are they calling the book Girls Like Us?
Yeah.
I haven't even read the book yet, but this poor woman is writing these great thrillers that are turning that trend on its head, but they're titling her books along with the terrible trend. Girls in the title, wife in the title.
Right.
When is it ever going to be over?
Not soon enough.
I mean, I keep thinking it's played out. We'll stop seeing these thrillers with girl and wife and sister and whatever in the title, and it just keeps on going. It's like the Energizer Bunny.
Yes. Sad but true.
Sorry, little tangent rant there. You knew you were going to get at least one of those in this episode. All right, so that was Girls Like Us by Christina Alger, coming out July 2nd. Catherine, what's your first July book?
My first July book is Whisper Network by Chandler Baker, and that comes out also on July 2nd. And this is another one I chose purely based on the premise. It's about four women who work for a very high-profile man at a large corporation, and there have always been whispers about how he treats women.
Oh, this is a Me Too book.
Thank you. Yes.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. He's now in line to be CEO of the company, and these women decide enough is enough. So I'm kind of thinking Me Too on steroids, and I'm putting it in a new genre I'm going to call revenge fiction.
Ooh.
Which I'm all for.
Trademark that.
Yes, there you go. Hashtag.
Yeah.
And I realize this could be cheesy and over the top or completely one note, but I'm willing to take the chance.
Hopefully it's nuanced.
Hopefully.
I love the title.
Yeah. And it's The Whisper Network by Chandler Baker, comes out July 2nd.
All right, my next book is sports fiction, which if you've followed me for any length of time, you know that I absolutely love. There's not enough of it in this world, especially with female athletes at the center of the story. And this one has all those things. It's called We Came Here to Forget by Andrea Dunlap. It's coming out July 2nd. And I sort of was struggling with what to call this book, whether it's brain candy, whether it's literary fiction. I think based on the description and based on the writing, I peeked at the first couple pages just to test out the writing. It sounds like maybe a sweet spot between the two, which is also my sweet spot. So I'm excited.
Okay.
It's about an Olympic level skier named Katie Cleary, and her life falls apart after something happens with her sister. And she runs away to Buenos Aires. Oh, God. I never took Spanish in high school, y'all. I took Latin, which helps me with exactly nothing.
Oh, I loved Latin. I took Latin in high school, too.
Maybe it helps our vocabulary?
Yes.
Anyway, she runs away to Buenos Aires and becomes involved with a group of expats. And of course, there's a dangerous man somewhere in the mix.
Of course.
So this book was blurbed by Taylor Jenkins Reid. Although I have not read her earlier books, her last two books have been just knockout five-star best of the year kind of reads.
No kidding.
I also trust her reading taste based on her picks as a Book of the Month judge. So her blurb does mean something to me. So as I said, I'm a total sucker for sports fiction, especially if it's an Olympic sport and a female athlete. And that's really rare. I was trying to think of books that had a female athlete protagonist and really could only think of four. One being The Unraveling of Mercy Lewis. One being You Will Know Me by Megan Abbott. The Falconer, which you just read and I have not read yet, but I have it on hold at the library.
Oh my gosh, Sarah. It is so up your alley. You're going to love it.
I hope so. It really needs to come in soon from the library. The Goodreads reviews are really good. And they're saying that it's different. It's not a thriller. People have reported being very emotionally invested. It's a family story. It's dark. And a couple readers did not love the epilogue. So maybe I'll just skip that. I don't know. That's pretty easy to skip. We Came Here to Forget by Andrea Dunlap, coming out July 2nd. Catherine, what is your next July book?
It's A Prayer for Travelers by Rushika Tomar, and it comes out July 9th. And I have a lot of reasons for this choice. Anyone who's listening to this or has read my blog, I tend to fall for the same things. It's a debut and written by a woman. Those are two of my main criteria for my choices in books. But this is also a blurb from someone I trust, and that's Adam Johnson.
Oh, yes.
Whose novel, yeah, his novel, The Orphan Master's Son.
Which I did not like.
Really? Oh my gosh. It was not easy. It was long. It was dense.
Yep.
But I thought it was one of the most amazingly complex, touching novels I've ever read. The ending, I just fell apart.
I think most people that read it agreed with you, not me.
Right. But you did have to get through it.
Yes.
I mean, it was not easy reading. But A Prayer for Travelers is set in the American West, which is not a region I generally gravitate towards. But it's a small town, two women from very different walks of life who come together. One of them is trouble, kind of a hustler and a grifter. And the other is more just kind of aimless and lost in her life. The dynamic, from what I've seen, reminds me of Sugar Run.
Yep.
By Mesha Maron, which I loved. I know a lot of people didn't, but I really loved it.
I didn't make it through.
Right. And in this case, the troubled girl disappears and the other is left trying to find her. So my sense is it's one of these internal and external journey novels. She's going to discover herself, learn about herself at the same time that she is traversing the American West trying to find her friend. And that's A Prayer for Travelers by Rushika Tamar.
Great. My next book, I actually have to give Catherine credit for. For two reasons. Number one, she took pity on me because I didn't have a lot of picks for July, and she let me present it instead of her.
Oh, okay. I know where you're going.
Yes. And second of all, this is a sophomore novel, and this author's debut novel, Catherine Red, I had seen it nowhere. I think you had seen it nowhere.
Right.
Somehow you got your hands on it. And it was 5 stars. It was amazing. I read it. I also rated it 5 stars. And it was one of my favorite books of the year that it came out. So this book, meaning the one coming out this July, is called We Went to the Woods by Katie Dolan Leach, who wrote the book Dead Letters. And it's coming out July 2nd. It's literary fiction. And it's about 5 friends who retreat to an abandoned commune in upstate New York when they fear society is about to collapse for whatever reason, or they're unhappy with how society's progressing. What follows is I have a cuss word in my notes.
Oh, go with it.
An SHIT show with lots of secrets and lies and tangled relationship dynamics. So the marketing blurb says this is for fans of the secret history. And the premise is also giving me sort of a Black Chalk feel.
Oh.
Black Chalk is a novel by Christopher J. Yates, and that came out a number of years ago, but I loved it.
Oh, that was a great book.
Very demented friendship novel.
Yeah.
Yeah, super dark. So Dead Letters, what I loved about that is Katie Dolan Leach has very snarky writing with dark undertones. And it was really fun and twisty and dark at the same time. But this author, I think, is not for everybody. You've got to like the snarkiness.
Agreed.
And for the listeners that have been listening from the very beginning of this podcast, which God bless every one of you, Georgia Hunter, who wrote We Were the Lucky Ones, was my first guest on the podcast. And she shared Dead Letters as the book that she did not love.
Oh, that's right.
And I was the one that had recommended it to her.
Oh, so it was a reversal from you and I.
Right. So, but we had a good discussion about it. And she did not like the snarkiness. She's not that kind of person. And that's fine.
Yeah. It's a very sarcastic writing and humor.
Yep.
But I always appreciate that. I enjoy it.
I love that too. And I did peek at the first few pages and the writing style seems similar to Dead Letters. It seems consistent. I was immediately intrigued. It's definitely quickly laying out that things are amiss.
Oh, that sounds so good.
I do have to talk about the Goodreads average rating for this book.
Uh-oh.
It's really bad. Yeah, it's 3.26. For Goodreads, that's pretty bad.
It is. Oh, no, no, no.
But Dead Letters was a 3.56.
Okay.
But it was 5 stars for me.
Right.
So I think this is just sort of a divisive author with the darkness and the snarkiness. You either love it or you don't. And if that's your thing, give her a try. If it's not your thing, steer clear. Okay, what's your next book?
My next book is kind of like your recurrence. There's no way anybody hasn't already heard about this book. It's The Nickel Boys by Colson Whitehead, who, you know, won the Pulitzer for The Underground Railroad. I don't even know that I need to say a lot about it, but there is every reason for me to read this. I love his writing. I loved his last book. And Nickel Boys looks to be just as timely and relevant. It's about a reform school in the South, specifically for young Black men. And it's based on a real reform school in Florida that operated for over 100 years. And they've since discovered was an absolute hellhole. Not a school in any sense, but more of a prison. The only thing about this, I'm just a little confused. We were talking about release dates on Tuesdays and things, but also time of year. Everything I'm seeing is that this is going to be heavy, graphic reading. And July...
Uh-huh. This is a September or October book.
Exactly. I would have said September.
Yep.
But regardless, I know it's going to be tough reading, but I'm really looking forward to it. That's The Nickel Boys by Colson Whitehead.
Also, Annie Jones loved this one. She's already read it. And she's from the area. So she had heard of this boys' school.
Oh, good.
Also, I was never enticed to read The Underground Railroad because of the magical realism. I don't love that in my reading.
Oh, that's true.
No, I don't. So I have not read Colson Whitehead. However, this book does sound really appealing to me. I love that it's based on a true story. It's on my list. Catherine and I basically divided up the Katie Dolan Leach book and this book to see who would share which one. So I'll co-sign this as well. Okay, let me ask you this for our stats for after. If I actively co-sign a book in the moment, can I then include it in my stats? And vice versa for you?
Yes, you can.
All right, so really I should have been able to include Normal People last time around then.
Yes, you should.
So my last book for July is another author who I have loved in the past. It's called The Need by Helen Phillips. It's coming out July 9th. It's literary fiction, but also reads like a thriller, I hear. And she wrote the book The Beautiful Bureaucrat, and it came out a couple years ago. It's super weird.
Oh, it is.
But I loved it.
I liked it. I didn't love it. It's an amazing discussion book club book.
Absolutely. It's very open-ended.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a lot of neat and tidy bows.
No.
What I hear that that's the case with this new book as well.
Oh, okay.
So The Need is about a woman named Molly who is home alone with her two young children while her musician husband goes on tour. And while she's home alone, a masked intruder breaks into her home. And y'all, he's wearing a deer mask. Random.
Oh.
But it's Helen Phillips, so, you know, it's going to be weird.
Right.
Anyway, he breaks into her home and she realizes he knows everything about her and her family. And I hear that it's a book about motherhood on top of all this. So I'm really curious to see how this all comes together. And I do think because Helen Phillips is so weird and out there that like maybe she could make all this work.
Right.
It's about the opposing feelings of motherhood, sort of the joy versus the misery, that kind of stuff. And I heard the writing is great. I heard it's dark and unsettling and a little bit surreal, which is not at all surprising if you read The Beautiful Bureaucrat. I heard it's a love or hate type of book. I think she is a love or hate type of author because she's kind of out there.
I agree.
And I'm guessing it'll probably make a good book club pick as well. I also heard it's best to go in blind, and I'm planning to do that. I'm planning to steer clear of reviews from now on. So I did not get a chance to sample the writing on this one because, of course, my e-galley came in literally 5 minutes before we started recording.
Oh, no.
Because I always try at least to read the first couple pages to get a sense of the writing. But I did hear from Goodreads reviewers that it's gorgeous. And I do have a couple recommendation sources for this one, too, which gives me hope. Jacqueline Krupe, she's a bookstagrammer. She rated it 5 stars. Emily St. John Mandel blurbed it, and she's the author of Station 11.
Oh.
And Rebecca Mackay, the author of The Great Believers, a book that I adored last year, also blurbed it. And she said, and I'm quoting now, it's the strangest book she's ever read about motherhood, but also the best.
I'm intrigued. Huh.
I also need to say one more caveat. between publishing The Beautiful Bureaucrat and publishing this book, Helen Phillips published a short story collection called Some Possible Solutions. I was hit and miss on that, but also I'm hit and miss on a lot of short story collections. So I'm not going to put too much stock in that. So that was called The Need by Helen Phillips, coming out July 9th. And Catherine, what is your last book?
It's If You Want to Make God Laugh by Bianca Murray. It's coming out July 16th. And I am wrapping up my choices with what I call a second chance pick. And I know lots of people who loved Murray's debut, Hum If You Know the Words.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that. I have not read it.
Okay. I read it. I didn't care for it. I loved her writing, but there was a character that I just found so implausible that it made it hard to care or to get really invested in the story.
Right.
So, you know, I'm a little hesitant, but one, I love this title.
That's the first thing I thought when you said that.
But she writes from South Africa. And this is set in South Africa again, and it's about three women whose lives intersect around an abandoned baby. So we have a young teenager. The baby is hers. She lives in a slum in Johannesburg. She is desperately poor, so she leaves the child somewhere. And one of the other women is incredibly wealthy, but can't have children. So somehow these three women are going to come together. And in reading the synopsis, I got a real kind of feeling of Everybody's Son by Thridi Umrigar.
Oh, yes.
Did you read that? Right?
I did.
So my sense is it's going to be about motherhood and identity, all exacerbated by the massive economic divide in South Africa.
That sounds up my alley, too.
Yeah. That is my last July pick. And it's If You Want to Make God Laugh by Bianca Murray. And it comes out July 16th.
All right, let's pick our number one picks of the season. My number one pick is We Went to the Woods by Katie Dolan Leach, because I loved Dead Letters so very much. And I love some nice snarkiness for summer.
And I'm actually going to go completely against trend and just trust in Colson Whitehead and pick The Nickel Boys.
I was thinking you might do that.
I know. I'm thinking about my other choices. I like all of them, but they're somewhat untested.
Right.
And I feel like I just trust Whitehead. And even though I know this is going to be so dark, I'm going to go all in on it.
I think this is going to be a book that's going to be up for a bunch of awards.
Agreed. I mean, I think it could be another Pulitzer nomination.
Critical darling.
Right.
Hopefully it also appeals to the masses too. I think the Underground Railroad did.
It absolutely did.
All right. That was a lot of information.
It was.
Don't worry, y'all. As always, we will have links to all the books we talked about with purchase links and timestamps, so you can click right to the specific part of the episode where we talk about that book. Also, I wanted to do a quick plug for my summer reading guide, which is going to be coming out very soon. It will be on the blog on Tuesday. I've been doing this summer reading guide for so very many years, and it's still the favorite thing on the blog.
Oh, I bet.
Keep an eye out for that coming on Tuesday. And next week, to coincide with my summer reading guide coming out on the blog, we're going to be doing a special summer reading episode. Susie from the blog Novel Visits is joining me, and she and I are going to count down our top 10 all-time favorite summer books. And these are not necessarily books that are coming out in the summer or came out in the summer. These are just books for that would be great for summer reading.
That you read in the summer.
Yeah. So it's going to be all backlist. Everything you'll be able to get in paperback. And you'll probably be able to get it at the library without too long of a hold list.
What a great idea.
Thanks. I'm excited for that episode. I think it'll be a good one. Thank you so much, Catherine, for joining me. I so appreciate it, and I'm so glad to have you as my regular quarterly book preview co-host.
You are welcome, and hopefully I can keep my stats high enough that your listeners will take me seriously.
And hopefully I can raise my stats so you won't kick me out of the podcast.
Or just tell you, look, Sarah, let me do this, okay, because I've got it handled.
I'll just interview you about all your picks.
Well, thank you. It was fun.
All right. Talk to you next week. Thanks so much for listening to Sarah's Bookshelves Live. You can find show notes with all the books mentioned in the episode, purchase links, and linked timestamps at sarahsbookshelves.com/podcast. And that's Sarah with an H. I'd love to hear your comments, feedback, and suggestions, especially since we're just starting out. Find me online on my blog, sarahsbookshelves.com, on Twitter at Sarah's Shelves, on Instagram at Sarah's Bookshelves, and via email at sarahsbookshelves@gmail.com. Happy reading!